Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
I've got to say, there's something about people who just make massive sacrifice to seek after the things of God. Like, there's something really powerful about that. And I do want to give some credit to Chad. Where did he go? He's up there. He's already resting. You know, just before the service, Chad was telling me about how he got this tick, and he goes, "Mate, I'm out of breath." And I said, "Mate, do your best." And you know, when you see someone pour their heart out for the heart of God and just push in, man, I just want to say thank you. Can we give it up for Chad? I just say thank you, because quite often we want to tap out, don't we? We're just like, "Oh well, I'm sick, I'm out, I'm done." And also those prayer team on Friday night. It's the longest prayer meeting I've ever been to as your pastor. I've never been to a 12-hour prayer vigil, and I still can say I've never been to a 12-hour one. But I, at 5:30 in the morning, I said to Beck, "I think I've prayed every prayer possible that I have." Like, I mean, I could have been getting to where the kids get to up at kids' church. I heard a kid was praying for their water bottle the other day, and I was like, man, I'm almost at that point. Like, you know, 10 and a half hours in, I'm like, I got nothing left to talk to you about, God. But it was just amazing to see the faithfulness of our prayer team and just their push in and just like, let's keep going. You know, at 3 a.m., let's charge up. And I'm like, let's go get a Red Bull. It was very, just amazing to see just the heart of the prayers in this church. And it was great to be part of it. And I want to encourage you, if we do another one, which we are apparently going to do, come along and just see what God wants to say to you. When you take time out for God, He always speaks. It's funny like that. When you actually take some time out and put some time aside, it's like when you sacrifice something, God always goes, "All right, I see that sacrifice. Let me speak. Let me show up." And we're actually going to continue on hearing from God this week. If you didn't hear last week's message, I want you to encourage you. We have a podcast, Beacon Church Podcast. It's sort of the first of the series in regards to hearing from God. Who wants to hear from God? We all do, right? We want to have that clarity. We want to be able to know that our spiritual ears are open. And last week I mentioned that in the scripture it talks about our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, when you say, "God, take control of my life," He actually enters us. He actually is part of us. He imparts Himself within us through His Holy Spirit. And because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to hear His voice. Every person that has the Holy Spirit can hear His voice clearly. And so I talked about this. Maybe you've been in church a long time and you're like, "Well, I don't hear His voice." Maybe it's you just need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to go, "God, I need your Holy Spirit. Open my ears." And we talked about like the cochlear ear implant that can change your life, where the Holy Spirit can shift you from a follower of Jesus to someone not just following blindly, but following because you hear clearly. And I think that's when your life comes alive when it comes to faith, because you're like, "I know that God spoke and I now have a choice to say yes or no." It's not anything more than just obedience. And through scripture, God speaks in many ways. In many different ways, God speaks. He doesn't just have one way of speaking. He's a very creative God. Reality is that God is the creator, okay? He is creative. And when it comes to Him speaking to us, He uses really creative ways. He's like, "Oh, let me just show up and show off in some really odd ways and unique ways." Who's had a creative way where you feel God has spoken to you? Anyone ever felt God speak through something super weird? Okay, one of you, okay, or maybe it's just me. But in the scripture, there's so many times where we go, why would God use that avenue to speak to that person? If you don't know, there's all sorts of ways. At one point, you can go read this story, Numbers 22. Put that in your, write that down, Numbers 22. There's this really odd story about a guy named Balaam who just is so arrogant that God has to use his donkey to speak to him. Like, he uses a donkey, like, "Wake up, Balaam." The donkey starts talking. Different ways God speaks in the scripture. He uses the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night when the Israelites are going through the desert. He's speaking constantly through that. He uses so many interesting ways. We find the Christmas star, this star that these wise men from the east are following to find this Messiah, this King of the Jews. I've talked about this, how I've had a conversation with some astrologists and said, "Well, who's Jesus and They were like, this was when I was an Uber driver, and they were really fascinated because I said, well, there was a star in the sky. Was that astrology? And their revelation was, oh, no, that was actually Saturn and Jupiter in alignment. That's what we believe. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, Jupiter, he represents the king, and Saturn represents the Jews. I'm like, so you're telling me the entire universe was screaming out, go to the king of the Jews? And they're like, yes. And I go, so who's Jesus? I've never really thought about it. So God uses all sorts of things to speak. And you might go, well, is astrology something that God speaks through? No, I want to get to that later on this morning, okay? Because the thing is, God can use all sorts of things to speak. In fact, in the scriptures at one stage, God speaks through a hand on a wall, writing on the wall. And that's actually where we get that sort of saying, the writing's on the wall, okay? It's a done deal, God spoke in, it's all done, right? So God speaks in really interesting ways. I know that God has spoken to me in very interesting ways. I remember years ago, I was driving down from Toowoomba in my Ford Laser, and I must have been just forgetting how fast I was going. I remember I was really just hooning along, trying to get home back to Brisbane. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm listening to this worship album by Delirious, this old worship album. And in this song, I didn't know it was in the song. All of a sudden, there's a siren that goes off in the song, and it scared me to death. Like, I thought it was a cop, right? It scared me to death to the point where I looked down at my speed, I was doing about 130. And I remember thinking, whoa, I didn't even know I was going that fast. And I put on the brakes because of the shock of this worship song. And I was like, oh my gosh, that scared me. And I realized it was in the song. About 2 minutes later, a cop just drives past. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, I have my license. I remember interviewing the guys from the band a few years ago and saying to the lead singer, I said, you saved my license. Why did you put that siren in that song, right? Like it's a He goes, oh, yeah, we're just experimenting. I remember we actually went, that's stupid. Why would we put that in there? To save my license, right? Like, you know, God has a way. It's just for me. I'm sure of it, right? But God uses really interesting ways to speak to us. He wants to get our attention. He will use everything around us to grab our attention. If we're in a position where we're like, God, speak, God, show me a sign, quite often God's like, okay, I will. Maybe you prayed that in your lifetime. God, if you just show me a sign, and there's some really smart churches out there that put up the billboards, if you're looking for a sign, this is it, go to Jesus, right? But when it comes to showing me a sign, when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're just awakened. Your spiritual life is awakened, and your spiritual eyes are looking for God to speak. And I actually believe as followers of Jesus, every day of our life, we should be like that. God, what do you want to say to me today? We should be aware of our surroundings because, as I said, he's a creative God using creative ways to get our attention. I remember a few years ago, Beck and I had done an alpha course at our church once. We led an alpha course once, and it was quite a stressful experience because it wasn't being run how I'd always done it when I was younger with my parents. And our pastor at the time was like, when are you starting the next alpha course? And we just kept putting it off. We were like, we don't want to do another one. Like, that was pretty much everything in me was like, I don't want to do another one. That was a terrible experience. I hope this is not for you, Danny and Steve, right? Anyway, but I'm like, I don't want to do another one. Like, I was really just like, I don't want to do another one because of the previous experience. And I remember my pastor just asked me again, when are you starting the next alpha course? And I ignored the text and didn't reply. And the next week, Beck and I were actually driving to Sydney. And I was still just, I wasn't thinking about Alpha until this moment happens where Beck's fast asleep next to me, which is what happens on road trips. And I'm listening to some worship music and this one worship song grabbed my attention and actually triggered Alpha in my brain. Like there was a couple of lyrics that triggered Alpha in my brain. So now I'm sitting there going, oh, Alpha, God, do you really want me to do Alpha? And as I'm just thinking that, this is all within about 30 seconds, song triggers Alpha, I'm like now thinking, God, do you really want me to do Alpha? A truck passes by me at 100 k's an hour and sits right in front of me, and it's Alpha Removalists. I was like, get behind me, Satan, right? So I sped up and didn't want to know about it. So I didn't really even tell Beck that because I didn't want to do it. So I was like, no, that's just a coincidence. These things don't happen. That's just stupid. So I ignore it. Don't tell Beck. Now, a couple of weeks later, because I don't want to tell her, I don't want to do it. So a couple of weeks later, I'm actually up in Rockhampton, and I'm away on work, and I had a couple of days off from work, and we were fairly newly married. I think it was our first year of marriage, and I wanted to be romantic and surprise Beck and come home and be, "Ta-da, I'm here for you. You missed me, right?" And so I booked this flight home in the middle of the week to surprise Beck. And I call her on the day and I say, "Hey, babe, I'm coming home to surprise you. Let's go out for dinner." She goes, "No, I've got plans." Very unromantic. Anyway, "I got plans." I'm like, "But I'm coming home." She goes, "Well, you have to do something else. I'm going out with the girls, right?" And so I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Oh, you can go to the Alpha Night if you want." And I go, "What?" She goes, "There's an Alpha Night on tonight with all the people starting new Alpha courses. It's on tonight. So if you're coming back, you can go to that." And I'm like, "Oh, flying back for Alpha, right?" But I'm still don't want to do it. So I'm like, "That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. I'm not doing Alpha." And so then I remember I'm staying at these people's house in Rockhampton. I'm about to go home. I'm having a shower before I go back to the Gold Coast, but I'm ignoring this Alpha meeting. I'm not going to it. I haven't responded. I'm not going. And then I'm in the shower and I look down. I'm going, "Get stuffed." And this is actually what was in the shower. I've still got a photo of it. I took a photo of it because I'm like, "Why? I don't want to do it." But I did. I went, "Okay, fine, God." And I remember sending this to Beck. I said, "I'm coming home for the Alpha meeting." And went to the Alpha meeting and I was like, "Fine." And then I did the Alpha course out of sheer obedience because my heart was in it, okay? Because I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and I do everything he wants me to do. Anyway, so this is how God can speak. He uses really creative ways. And sometimes he just like, he wants to slap you over the face. He's like, "What do I, wake up? Like, how many things do I have to show you?" And sometimes in your life, God has to use really peculiar ways. And I hope he doesn't have to do this to you to get your attention. Sometimes he doesn't just have some fun ways like this. He'll start removing things in your life and taking away your toys and your presents and your things until he gets your attention. Sometimes he's like, "Man, if I have to take everything away to get you on your knees again, back in line with me, I will. I hope you never end up there. I've been there in my lifetime where I've just lost and all I've got is God." And God's like, "At least you've got me and now I've got your attention." But God speaks. And some of our ears, our spiritual ears, aren't open. But it's always been that way ever since the beginning of time, ever since Jesus' teaching. The disciples actually say this in the scripture. They ask him why he spoke in parables. "Why do you speak in stories? Why don't you just tell it straight to the people?" He always used stories and he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." He's talking to his disciples. "You get it to start with. Whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." And he talks about a prophecy that's hundreds of years old. He says, "You'll be hearing but never understanding. You'll be seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn and I would heal them. But blessed are you and your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." So it's actually possible today that your spiritual ears and eyes might be shut. And right now when you're hearing my voice, you're like, you're not hearing anything. And you are in a position where you're like, "Oh my goodness." But here's the great news. He can open it. He can open your eyes. And so I'm going to pray before I continue. God, I pray right now, Jesus, reveal yourself today. I pray our spiritual ears and eyes will be opened so clearly that you will hear this word as if it's for an individual in this room. It's not like it's for every, it's a message for us all, but may you speak to us individually, clearly about how we can hear from you, God. May you set us on a course of our life that we'll just step out in obedience no matter what. May we not be people that take our time to get to where we need to go, that we will be fast to move so that you can work through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here's the thing about God. I think a lot of us these days, and I deal with this a lot in schools, is that we think spirituality is the same thing as following Jesus. Spirituality. I go to a psychic fair. I hear from someone that tells me what God wants to say. That's the same as getting a prophetic word from the pastor at church. I go to the worship night. The pastor gives out a word of knowledge. That's the same thing as getting my tarot cards read. I read my Bible in the morning and I also read my star signs because the universe wants to speak to me. I get that text message from that application that gives me a word of encouragement every day that comes from some kind of spirituality, and it's all about light, love, and peace. I'm not someone that's into dark witchcraft, but I don't mind white witchcraft because it's all good and it's about love and light and peace and joy. And that's where I'm at. And I love Jesus, but I also love these things as well because I'm a spiritual person and I'm open to whatever God and the universe wants to say. I have my crystals, I have my mini Buddha, but I also have Jesus on the cross. I have my dream catcher in my car, but I also have my Bible in the glove box. I am a spiritual being and I can't miss because I've embraced it all. Understand that Jesus and spirituality and all the other things that I've just mentioned are not the same. They are not the same. In fact, they are in opposition to each other. And unfortunately, we live in a world where spirituality is embraced and Jesus is kicked to the curb unless Jesus is just part of spirituality. Can I tell you, I remember in grade 12, I went on a missions trip to Fiji and we went out and we knocked on doors of people, the Fiji Indians and the Fiji locals, and we go, can we pray a blessing over you? Of course, come into our home, have a cup of tea. And there were all the statues of all the gods and there was Jesus in amongst it all, and they will take whatever they can get. And I reckon we're a bit like that. If you want to bless me, I'm up for the blessing. I don't care where it comes from as long as I'm blessed. But this is the problem when we live a life of spirituality and not choosing Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. Exodus 23, the very first commandment that Moses gets when he goes up Mount Sinai is this: you shall have no other gods before me. You see, in a world where spirituality is very accessible, you can choose your own adventure. Remember those books? Choose your own adventure. Go to page 22 if you want to enter the trapdoor. You know, page 20, and you go, ooh, and then you do one and you go, oh, I don't like that, and change the page. And with your spirituality, you go, I'm choosing my own adventure. I am actually in control of my spiritual life and God is not. The New Age is all about self, selfish ambition, and what God can do for me. Jesus is all about laying your life down, sacrificing all of your comforts to follow Him, even if it costs you everything. The New Age is completely different to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you're wondering, well, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? The good Spirit, the Holy Spirit, always, every time He speaks, leads you back to Jesus. Always leads you to Jesus and always challenges you to be more like Jesus. He wants to challenge you today to drop everything else and just follow Jesus alone. Notice that when Balaam, the donkey, speaks, from that moment he doesn't go looking for more talking donkeys. It's like, oh man, I got to find another talking donkey. God speaks through donkeys. Notice that in the scripture, the wise men weren't looking at the stars for anything more than the reason the stars were shining to say, go to Jesus. Worship Jesus. They weren't worshiping the stars in the sky. They were being pointed to Jesus. And often God will use things in your life that seem quite out of the ordinary and seem quite creative. But you should know that it's God if it points to the things of Jesus and Jesus alone. If it points you to self-satisfaction, what you want, selfish desire, if it points you to a place of disobedience to the words of Jesus, actually stepping away from what Jesus would do, it is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. I cannot be clearer than that. And too much confusion has come into the church because we've been choosing our own adventure. John 10:10, I mentioned it. Jesus mentions that he is the gate. I am the gate. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Anyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord and then decides to make Jesus Lord and Savior, in other words, you are now Lord of my life. I am not in control. Whatever you say, I will follow. I am not God of my own life. I don't make my own destiny. God, you are in control, and I will hear your voice and I will follow, no matter the cost. So interesting, before Jesus leaves, one of the disciples comes to Jesus because the disciples are upset because they've always had Jesus so clear. He's been there with them. He could just tell them straight. And in John 14, it says this, Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" Understand that every person that has Jesus has a place in heaven. You receive Jesus, you have that assurance that Beck was talking about. There is no doubt. It's actually just a done deal. Jesus went to prepare a place for you and I. You have a place in heaven. You've decided to follow Jesus, made him your Lord and Savior. You can go out of here today, and if anything happens to you today, tomorrow, or whatever, you know you die, you know exactly where you go. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You cannot get to heaven through your crystals. I remember going to Byron Bay and entering a crystal shop. And I went around and I asked this lady, I said, "What's this crystal for?" And she goes, "Oh, that will give you peace." "What's this crystal for?" That one's about prosperity and wealth. "What's this one for?" And there were hundreds of crystals. But a lot of them were actually opposition to each other within the crystal space. And I said, "So how many do I need of these to really find fulfillment?" She said, "Well, you can never really get enough. You just keep adding. And then you never really arrive." And I'm like, man, I'm so glad that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't need your rocks. I've got Jesus. Yeah. I don't need your confusion. I don't need to worry about, oh my gosh, I don't have my feel-good rock in my pocket today. Now I feel anxious. It's at home. I've got the wrong rock. But people keep throwing money at me. It's a prosperous rock." I mean, it doesn't work like that. But unfortunately, we fall into that trap. And we actually give power to things that don't deserve power. We are born to worship our creator and not creation. God gave us creation to identify his beauty, glory, and wonder, that we will return to the creator and him alone. And you know what? Those crystals, they're pretty. That's all good. You want to collect rocks? Collect rocks, but don't do it for your spiritual life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan's plan, we mentioned it last week, is to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to deceive us. Even in Jesus' time, after Jesus left, there was a bunch of false prophets and apostles that claimed to be like Jesus. Remember Bar Jesus that Josiah preached about a few weeks back when we're going through the book? He was saying, "Yeah, I'm Jesus too." No, you're not. Everything you do is in opposition to what Jesus is all about. And so these people are everywhere. These apostles are popping up. These false teachers are popping up everywhere. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 11:13 to 14, "For such men are counterfeit apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder," you got to hear this, "and no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Do not be deceived. "Oh man, but you don't understand. I got all these voices telling to me and they're like light, baby." Satan can appear as an angel of light. He can deceive you so far down the track to take you off track from Jesus to follow whatever you want because it's light. Oh, until that light is a truck and it takes you out. He wants to destroy you. You need to know what you're following. So it is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Understand there is an enemy, there is a devil who has a bunch of demons with him that appear as angels of light to get your attention off of Jesus and onto yourself. Many will appear to be light. But understand this, just like we've dealt with people in our lives, I'm sure you've met someone who has claimed to be something that they aren't. The way that we know someone who is a follower of Jesus is not necessarily by the words they speak, but by the fruit they produce. I've talked to young girls that decide to date boys that go, are they a Christian? Oh, yeah, they go to church. No. Do they follow Jesus? Oh, yeah, they read their Bible. Do they display these things? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Do they show self-control? Or do they want to have sex with you right now? Because that's a fruit of the Spirit. Someone who has self-control. And the fruit will overflow in every element of their life. I can tell you where they're at with God by their fruit. What are they displaying? Not just what they're saying. Man, it's quiet in here. So many of us get deceived. So many of us get confused. Spirituality is light, right? No, spirituality has fruit. God's spirituality. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. A lot of spiritual people out there full of anger, greed, malice, the complete opposition to the things of Christ. So how the heck can we know which way to go? How can we hear God's voice? I want you to ask yourself and maybe just shut your eyes for a moment and think about your own life and ask yourself, are the voices you listen to when it comes to spirituality leading you to Jesus Christ, and is it helping you to become more like Christ? Are those voices helping you to become more like Christ? Or are the voices you're leading to in regards to spirituality leading you to self-gratification and living a life that is about your selfish fulfillment? I just want you to think about it. Sometimes we get very confused. Here's an example. Maybe you're at work one day and you're counting the register. I remember you're counting the register at work years ago when I was in my teen years, and occasionally there'd be more money in the cash register than there should be. Now, as a Christian, do I go, wow, God wants to bless me. God, you have provided, I have tithed, and there is $100. Can I justify it? Do I take that money and say, well, God, you've blessed me and the business. They've got every need they have, and thank you, Jesus, that I'm going to register one. Of course not. It's not in line with the things of God. Or maybe you're a business person and you're, you know, it's tax time and your tax agent has some very creative ways to get rid of your tax bill. And by creative, you know it's actually wrong, but you just go, well, I don't know what my tax agent does. I just sign the thing. And you justify it. Well, what's God's heart? Jesus says to his disciples, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. And as followers of Jesus, we should live a life that goes, I want to be like Jesus. And even though tax sucks, the disciples knew tax sucked. But Jesus goes, pay it anyway. Don't you understand? I can bless you in every other way, shape, or form. Why are you cutting corners with your faith? Why are you cutting corners when I can bless you when you're obedient? Have you just missed out on all the blessing God had for you because you decided that I'm smarter than God? Understand that God's voice is constantly speaking. I mentioned it last week, but often I actually think we have tone deafness. We just go, oh, I'm selective hearing right now. I don't want to hear about it. Understand, you can't have any other gods. Only Jesus. Deuteronomy 4:15-19. Therefore, watch yourself very carefully so you do not become corrupt and make for yourself an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal of the earth or bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground or fish in the waters. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, or the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshipping things that your Lord God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. He said, don't you dare worship the stars. I put them there for the seasons, for day and for night, for you to understand my splendor and my glory, but they are not God, and do not worship them. Do not let that slip into your world, where you're relying more on astrology and ideas from the New Age than you are from the Holy Spirit that wants to speak clearly to you and to you individually. It says in the scripture, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. The closer you get to God, the louder his voice is going to get. The way you get closer to God is not by reading other people's thought processes, but opening the Word of God. Reading the scripture. We are made to worship our Creator and not the creation. There's been so many times in my life that I've been in awe and wonder in creation, but every time it's led me back to Jesus going, man, God, you're the best painter ever. When there's a sunset, I'm like, no one could paint that. And I'm in awe, it leads me back to Jesus. Every time, ask yourself, is this leading me back to Jesus or to self-corruption? It's interesting when it comes to spiritual things, we're very open to spiritual things outside of the church, but when spiritual things happen within the church, which is not counterfeit, which is actually the way to do spirituality, we put our nose up at it. We start to mock it when the Holy Spirit does stuff. So interesting. Can't believe that that happened in church. Why? That's actually how spirituality should be. The most power should be happening right here. Everything else is counterfeit anyway. Satan has tried to rip off the spiritual things, the gifts of healing, the gifts of words of knowledge, every other kind of spiritual practice, when God's heart is to be the most powerful. 1 Thessalonians 5, if you're someone who knows, you've mocked the Holy Spirit because you're like, ugh. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Don't pour water on the fire of the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you. And guess what? He wants to set you on fire with the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the ability to pray for people and they're going to be healed. It's a gift of the Spirit. He wants to give you the ability to be able to go up to someone, pray for them, and God give you a word of knowledge about their life that's going to speak encouragement into them, that is going to fan the flame of Jesus Christ into them. Man, it's available to everyone in this room. Not someone special, not someone that's up on a platform. Each and every one of you can receive these gifts. If you're sitting here today and thinking, as I have a lot of spiritual friends, I talk to them all the time about spirituality. As if you met my friend, they're seriously so full of light and love. They're like, they're so spiritual. And every time I go and see them, they say something to me, it just makes sense. I'm like, wow, they're so spiritual. Surely that's got to be the Holy Spirit. They just don't know it. Surely, I've hung out with them so much and they're so spiritual. They know everything about everything, chakras, and they know all this thing and they see stuff on me and you've got an aura and you've got this and you've got that and they're so spiritual. Surely that's got to be God, right? 1 Corinthians 12 says this, therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you are receiving your spiritual advice from someone who does not declare Jesus Christ is Lord, it is not the Spirit of God. Next time you talk to your spiritual friend and they start giving you some advice and you start taking on board, say to them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was? He died on a cross, rose again. Is the Lord? Is he your Lord and your Savior? Do you follow him? If they say, oh, he's just a good man, everything that comes from, do not take it as spiritual authority. They have no spiritual authority. They are not hearing from the Holy Spirit. Only those that profess that Jesus Christ is Lord have the Holy Spirit and have the authority to speak into these things. After this passage of Scripture, it actually says about the Holy Spirit and things that the Holy Spirit can do. It says, therefore, are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. This is under Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everything is the same God at work. All leads back to Jesus. All leads back to Jesus' teaching. Always in line with God the Father. The Holy Spirit only speaks what the Father says. It's always in line and never off track. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Some of you will have the gift of miraculous powers on you. To another, prophecy. Some of you will see the future in clear, like HD. Some of you will have the gift of the speaking in tongues. For some of you, like, oh man, you have mocked it because you're like, you don't understand it. I'm telling you, some of you will have the gift of tongues. Some of you will won't. But you know what? At the end of the day, do not despise it. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. Someone's going to speak tongues. You go, I know what you're saying. All these are work of the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as the body through one, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Next week, we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to be, next week, I'm telling you, you want to receive a gift? God is going to impart gifts next week. If you want to know, you're like desperate. I want a gift. I want to be able to pray for people in healing. We're going to be praying for people next week. I want you to come back. We're going to talk about these gifts of the Spirit. I believe this church needs to be set on fire with the Holy Spirit. We don't need another club. We don't need another church. We need a church that is on fire for Jesus, that is repentant of inviting in the things of the devil into our lives. We've invited in all of this new age, and to be crass, but I'm going to say it, it's crap. It will destroy you, and you need to get rid of it. And this week, you need to go home and you need to say, God, reveal to me the things that I need to remove because I want it only to be about you, Jesus, and you alone. Oh, but this little thing I got given, this, oh, it's a gift from someone who just loves me. I don't care. What I do care about is your salvation and you hearing from God clearly. Get rid of it. Burn it. Get a trash can. Get the whole family out. Throw it out. Have some fun with it. If it is in opposition to leading you to Christ and it is of spiritual space, I can guarantee you, because the Scripture says it, it's not the Holy Spirit working through it. And you have to be obedient to go and do that. The beautiful thing is, also when you're doing it, just do this. We have to repent of the things we invite into our lives. We have to say, God, I am so sorry for allowing this in my life. Here's the deal. Some of you, you might not even realize until today. Like, I had no idea. I thought it was the same thing. That's why I'm here talking, okay? To tell you how to get in line, in a place where the Holy Spirit can speak really clearly, have your heart right, have a heart that says, Jesus, I just want you. I want to follow you with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I leave all the past behind. I leave all that trash. I no longer receive other voices that are not of you. From now on, the only voice I receive is your Holy Spirit, always in line with what you would want, Jesus. I want you to be the forefront of everything. I no longer worship creation and the things of creation. I worship the Creator. That's how I want to live my life. And you just watch what God will do. I want us to bow our heads really quick. Because I actually want to give us a moment of repentance right now. Because you know that you need to clear out some stuff so the Holy Spirit can come into your life. If you're here today and you've never actually made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, He saved you by dying on a cross. He rose again. He overcame death once and for all. He is alive and moving today through His Holy Spirit that is on the move right now in this room, present with us today. He is a living God. That's how He saved you. We need to make Him our Savior, but also our Lord. To make Him our Lord says, you're in control. I put you in the position of driver of my life. I no longer drive the car of my life. You sit in the driver's seat. And if you need to repent today, God, I've been driving for way too long. I need you to take control. I repent. I give up this stuff that has been holding me captive. I didn't know why I couldn't hear from you, but now I understand why and I repent of that. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are across this room. Don't be ashamed of it. Just understand that it's been revealed. Yep. At the front here, guys, young guys, yeah, at the back. Yep. I see that lady at the back there, in the middle there. I understand you're just going, I didn't even know. The truth will set you free, and the truth is that Jesus is all you need. For those who have raised it, I see that hand at the back there on the left-hand side. If there's anyone else, I repent, Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Just raise your hand so I can pray with you right now. Yeah, I see that hand. You know, yeah. You know at the back as well, I see that hand. Man, across the room. So easy to fall into the trap. Understand that Satan is very sneaky. He wants to trap you. Jesus, we thank you for repentant spirits across this room. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you. You've revealed your truth today. God, I pray that you'll give us a strength this week to go home and remove the things, the obstacles in the way, the things we've allowed into our spiritual life. May we clean it out and have you, Jesus, and you alone, Jesus. May we follow you alone, Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, just you, Jesus. Just you, Jesus. If it's not in line with you, Jesus, we don't want it. God, I pray for every person in this room that they'll bring friends next week with an expectation that the Holy Spirit will give them the gifts that you talk about in the scripture. It's a free gift. There's free gifts going to be poured out next week. God, I pray that next week we'll have hearts that are open and ready and expectant, that you would actually touch us and set us on fire for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.